I found at least three books in my library at home that have collections of all the saints, and they're thick books, and they're great stories to read, and we probably all, or most of us, have our favorite saints. I got thinking about who might be some of mine, and two kind of raised to the top that I think of the most often. One is St. Francis, who I just really enjoy reading about and thinking about his life. And I remember a famous saying of his, "Preach the gospel at all times, using words when necessary." And I've always really enjoyed thinking about that attitude towards evangelizing that Francis carried with him. Another person I think about is St. Augustine, a saint of the church, a pretty wild kid who drove his mother crazy, and she kept praying for him. And we look at him now as one of our main saints within Christianity. And there should be a better saying of his that I remember, but the one that stands out is him saying, "Lord God, give me chastity and continence, but not yet." So that says a lot about our saints, right? They were regular human beings and did a lot of things right and also a lot of crazy things. And they still guide us in our path of what it means to be walking on this spiritual journey that we are on. I would like to introduce you to a few saints that I guess would be under the category of all souls rather than all saints. I was told once, all saints are the ones who made it into the book, and all souls are all the rest of them. And I certainly have an important collection of them in my memory, and I would like that to trigger some memories in your mind. The first one is somebody named Dick Spry, who was my Boy Scout leader. He was the troop master, and he ended up really inspiring me to want to pursue Eagle rank in Boy Scouts, and so I had to get a whole bunch of merit badges, and one of them that I picked was Radio Merit Badge. And so I ended up going down to Gordon Dobbins's car yard with all the wrecked cars, and I tore the ignition coil out of one old car and paid a dollar for it and cut it open and got oil all over Mom's kitchen floor and pulled the wire out to use it for an antenna. And then some more of the wire I wrapped around a paper towel roll to turn it into a coil. And I ordered through the catalog a cat whisker and a crystal and a capacitor. And I mounted all that stuff on a block of wood and hooked it all together. And one cold winter night, I actually heard the AM radio station 13 miles away in Watertown, New York. And I was just so excited. I just couldn't believe it. I was hooked for life that this was the coolest thing. Well, that led to the next incident of my Uncle Dick visiting my mom a few weeks later. I showed him this amazing crystal radio that I'd built and how excited I was about it. He came back 2 weeks later and he brought me this book. This is the one he handed me that is a radio amateur's handbook from back in 1961. Sorry, it's just the way the math works. But he said, you know, you might want to read parts of this because this could show you why that crystal radio worked. And if you would like to build a radio where you could actually listen to and talk to people across the world, this would show you how to do that. And so I got hooked. And that led to my meeting somebody named Bob Smith, who owned the local Napa car parts in town. And he offered to drive me up to Watertown, 13 miles away, every week for at least a month, a couple of months, I think, to take classes in theory and Morse code so I could get an amateur radio license. So at the age of about 14... I got the call Whiskey November 2, India Sierra Yankee, just so you know. Frank Gordon was my high school science teacher, and he helped me place first place, actually, in one state science fair. And then he said, you know, I have some friends who are at Syracuse University, and I'd like to sponsor you to them to see if we can get you into the electrical engineering program. He did that. I got in, and I got a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Syracuse. Okay, there's another track in my life. This is all going somewhere, so hang in there with me. This is worth it, I think. There was a Father Ayers who was the priest of the Episcopal Church in town, and when I was about 10 years old, he said, you know what, I'd like you to try being an acolyte. So he dressed me in a cassock and surplice and set me out with some candles. I fell in love with that immediately. I just loved it. I thought that was the greatest thing, and I was hooked. When I was in my late 20s, the priest in Erie, Pennsylvania, St. Stephen's in Erie, Ron Mulrein, found out that I never got confirmed. And he wasn't too happy about that, so he immediately took me off to the bishop in Erie, and the bishop agreed to do a private confirmation service. But he said, I want you to take the catechism classes after this confirmation. Well, the way that happened was another priest, Walter Giles, ended up asking me to sign up for Education for Ministry, EFM, which is a really, really great three-year-long course that is the theological part of seminary that's geared for the laity. And then the technical track and the theological track that I just described to you ended up merging in San Jose. My engineering work sent me out here. And I had a priest friend, Bob Landreth, at St. Francis in Willow Glen, say, I want to sponsor you for ordination. And he sent me down to meet Bishop Richard Schimpfke. Here's the point to all these folks. They are my great cloud of witnesses. They are my all souls and saints who have aimed me on a path that's led me to be here today. Without them, I wouldn't be ordained. I wouldn't be living here. I would not be the person I am without them. Some of them have no clue what they did. They have no clue what impact they had on me. But they were still saints and souls who guided me in my spiritual journey. Hebrews chapter 12 says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and I am such a firm believer in that. I absolutely believe it. And you also are part of that cloud of witnesses, because you are really able to help me take this mix of this technical track and this theological track and the love for God that I have and my interest in finding ways to actually live it. Not just say, yes, we believe in God, but how do we make it the way we live our life? How do we turn it into decisions we make every day and attitudes and relationships that show that we live by that standard, by that set of values? In the book of Revelation, the revelation that John was given, he was shown God's ultimate plan to create a new heaven and a new earth. And he saw this great mass of people in white robes. That's the cloud of witnesses. That's the saints. That's the people who have decided that they want to be a part of this thing. They want to be a part of this movement to fulfill God's plan and then just be caught up in praising God, his power and his majesty and his glory. I'm sure that Bob Smith has no idea that his giving me a ride to ham radio classes was going to fit into God's plan for me to serve in ordained ministry now for 15 years. His not knowing the role he played doesn't change the impact that he had, right? It doesn't change that impact he had on me. And there are other people whose names I don't remember. There are other people who have impacted my life and I don't even know it yet, right? And so there is this sense of a great cloud of witnesses. They are saints in my life and there are saints in your life. And I went through this whole list because I wanted you to spend some time this coming week to think about the people who did these things along your journey, your faith journey, who have impacted where you live and who your friends are and where you hang out and what your faith journey looks like. There is also a message in Jesus' gospel passage of the Beatitudes. Part of what I discovered as I was looking at it from this All Saints and All Souls standpoint is that there are items that in that list of being blessed that you would expect people to be blessed. If they're pure in heart, if they're peacemakers, if they are merciful people, that they'll be blessed with those things. That makes sense. But there's also a message that Jesus is giving us that even when things look difficult, even when things aren't according to our plan, we are open to receiving God's divine blessing when we are poor in spirit, when we are mourning, when we are hungry for righteousness. There's a divine blessing for us when we learn to endure those circumstances with our eyes and our hearts and our souls focused on God and on God's presence and on God's love for us. Your life has been influenced by saints and souls, the one who made it in the big book and those who did not. We are linked through our baptism into the family of God. We are part of that family, saints and souls from the past and from right now and from the future. We have been led through the influence of these people into the place that we are now in our faith journey. We share our faith with each other now in this community, and we will pass it forward in whatever way that we demonstrate our faith in the world. We are interconnected through the barrier of time. Time isn't part of this equation. It's the saints and the souls of all time who are one big, huge family of God, and you and I are in it. This is the ultimate example of God's generous gift to you and me. It's an expression of God's generosity. Our God is a generous God, and we are to be a generous people and to be people living out our gratitude. So recall and celebrate the people we have helped shape, who have helped shape your faith journey. Thank God for the influence they've had and for the impact they continue to accomplish through you and the way you live your life. And I pray that you would especially think of them and thank them and pray for them today as we say our prayers. Over the next week, we are going to be putting together, as every fall has us do, a stewardship campaign for the church. And I'm proposing that the topic for this be grateful and generous living. Grateful and generous living. I hope this is an opportunity for all of us to really prayerfully consider the value and the importance of the faith connection that you and I share by being part of the body of Christ in this place called St. Luke's. I have described the generosity of the saints and all souls, and it is a reflection of the generosity of our God. And our financial support of this very special, wonderful place is an expression of our gratitude back to God. So this is about generosity and gratitude and how those two energies can reside in the way we express our faith journey. Amen.